We're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and we're up to Levi Barbuti. Levi Barbuti Avikori Vekomegamgem. When he read the Klolos in Bechukosai at the end of Sefer Vayikra, he would mumble a little bit, maybe read it very fast in such a way that it couldn't be understood clearly. And the Yerushalmi says that he would be megamgem beklolos. He didn't want to express it in a clear fashion because these were klolos. And the Minchas Elazar, this Yerushalmi comments that the way he did it demonstrated that hayakoshelo likros. It was very, very hard for him to read the klolos. And he probably read it in a low voice, a low tone. Now, I mentioned to you that these klolos were at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And that was the impression that I got. Because those were the very severe klolos. However, let's take a look at the Gemara itself and see which klolos we're talking about when he says that he was megamgem. Now, this entire episode took place in the presence of Rav Huna. Kami de Rav Huna ba Aruri. Aruri means in the klolos. So I told you that these were the klolos of Parshas Bechukosai, the very heavy klolos.
The Aruri doesn't appear here. It appears in Einstein here.
So the Hemshech HaSugi, I think, will prove that this story took place not in Parshas Bechukosai at the end of Vayikra, but rather in Parshas Ki Tovo. Why do I say so? Because Omar lo Rav Huna says to him, Akenafshecha. In other words, you're not bound by any rules over here. You can read it the way you want to read it. You can be mafsik it in the middle if you want to be mafsik it. All of the strictures and rules that we saw before, namely that you're not allowed to be mafsik beklolos, these don't apply. Why not? The lo shanu, because all these dinim that we said before, that you're not posik b'emtza in the klolos, Ella, that only applies in the case of Klolos Shebetoras Kohen in Vayikra. And apparently this episode that took place in the presence of Rav Huna, where Levi read in a low voice, that was in the case, in a scenario where he was reading B'Mishneh Torah, he was reading Parshas Ki Tovo, which is the lesser of the severe Klolos. As we said before, these klolos didn't come mipi Akvura, they came mipi Moshe, they didn't come b'loshen Rabin, but b'loshen Yochid. And therefore, will be Mishneh Torah posek. You have no restrictions here, and you can read it the way you normally read it. So I have here a comment here from the Chasam Sofer, and he says the following. Ha'osek b'rtzono u'b'derech limudo b'nyani poronios. The person decides he's learning a sugya, he's learning a parasha in Tanakh, and it happens to deal with catastrophe, with punishment. Ein b'kach klum. He shouldn't get nervous about it at all, because he chose from his own volition to learn that parasha. Rakim is damilo balkorcho inyan paronios. If on the other hand he's the balkore and the halacha requires him to read the klolos, Azu Simon Lotov. That's not such a good thing that it was Ola B'Gorolo, that he would be the one that was required to read the Gorolos. So when you look for Simonim and you want to say, well, this is a bad Simon, a bad omen, you make that comment, and it's appropriate in a case where it was thrust upon you, it was foisted upon you. Like he gives a case of a Gemara in Chulin, where Rabbi Yochanan was bodek b'yanuka, he checked out what the children were learning. So that pasuk that the child said they were learning, that happened it was part of his destiny. It wasn't a decision that he made, but rather it was foisted upon him. Lakach shomel Rav Huna akenafshecha v'im ata rotza lifsok ata yochel lifsok shuv lo hoya balkorcha. Since with regard to the clause of Mishneh Torah, there's no strict requirement, and we don't obligate him to continue reading the clause. He can stop wherever he wants to. Therefore, it's like he learned it on his own. It's like he chose it, and therefore there's no chashash. He doesn't have to see it as a bad simon that he has to lower his voice or read it quickly or be megamke. So that all is a tag on to what we did yesterday. So the sugya for today actually begins here. And what the Gemara is going to analyze now is, when is it appropriate in the Hebrew calendar to read these two parashios of Klolos? Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra tikein lem liYisrael, shukorim Klolos shebetoras kohanim kodem atzeres, b'shebemishneh Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. There are two klolos. One is the parsha at the end of Vayikra and Bechukos. So the other is the parsha towards the end of Dvarim in Kitavo. And the way that Ezra organized the Kriyas HaParsha would be that these klolos should be completed before Rosh Hashanah. Now, what do I mean before Rosh Hashanah? He says that we have to complete and guarantee that we read the klolos in Vayikra before Atzeres. Atzeres means Chag HaShavuos. That's not Rosh Hashanah. But I do understand the Sefer here when he says that with regard to the klolos of Kitova, that should be read before Rosh Hashanah. That means before Aleph Tishrei. And what's the logic that underlies the reading of the klolos before Rosh Hashanah? My time on Rabbi Vitem Reish Lakish Kedesha Tichle Hashanah V'Kiloseo. That we want to read the parsha, the klolos, as the year ends, and that's a siman that all these klolos should be attached to the previous year, and they shouldn't pursue us in the year to come. Says the Gemara Bishleima, I understand Shavu Mishneh Torah, Ika, I can understand the logic of Sefer Dvarim before Rosh Hashanah, Kedei Shetichle Hashanah V'Kiloseo Ela Shavu Toras Kohanim, the klolos in Bechukosai to read before Shavuos, Ato Atzeres Rosh Hashanah is Chag HaShavuos Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean that you want to conclude the year and you've already got the brachas behind you? So Gemara says, "In Einochinami, it's true. Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah." And now the Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah to prove that Rosh Hashanah, that Atzeres Chag HaShavuos is also considered a Rosh Hashanah. Now, how do we know this? Because the Mishnah says that there are four prakim, four dates, calendar dates in the Hebrew calendar, when the world is judged. For example, on Pesach, it says in the Mishnah, there's a judgment on grains, on tvur. But Seres al Peres Elon. On Shavuos, the judgment is handed down with regard to the fruits of the trees. So the Gzar Din of this new year on Peres Elon is given on Chag HaTzeres. That's the Rosh Hashanah for the Gzar Din of Elonos, of Peres Elon. And therefore we want to read before HaTzeres, before Chag HaShavuos, all the klolos of Toras Kohanim, that all the klolos that could have haunted us with regard to the, plagued us with regard to the fruits of the trees, that should all be al cheshbon of the last year. Now you might ask a question, well, if you're talking about Rosh Hashanah, L'Peres Ilan, and that's Atzeres, why not apply the same logic to Chag HaPesach, which is the Rosh Hashanah for Tvua, and we should make sure that we read the clause before Pesach? So I have here something in the Yalkut HaBiurim, in the back here, and he says the following: the pre-tzadik hiksha lomo kodem ha-pesach ein korin klol, sorry, pesach rosh shana l'tvua. So he says the following, that based on the Zohar, the klolos of Toras Kohanim of Vayikra is connected Churban Bayis Rishon. The klolos in Mishneh Torah in Kitavo are keneged churban bayis sheni, the last golus. Vehine, he says, with churban bayis rishon kasuv beferush shahaya al bitul Torah. You were beginning to see why the first set of clothes, those at the end of Devarim, Torah's Konim, are appropriate for Chag HaShavuos, because Chag HaShavuos is Chag Matan Torah Seinim, and these clothes reflect the punishment for Bittul Torah. Now we're entering in Chag HaShavuos. We want to come with a new inspiration and a new commitment to Torah study. Now, how do we know the Churban Bayis Rishon is related to Bittul Torah? That's based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Alma Avda Haaretz. For what reason were we exiled? What was the sin that caused the first exile? Yirmiyah is the first exile. Al Ozvam Es Torasi. Now we fast forward to Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara says in Yuma that they were Osek B'Torah. So Mibnei Machar, Mibnei Shahay Sabo, Sinas Chino. So the second Churban was because of base hatred. L'chein tikein Ezra, she yikru klol shebetaras kodim kodnat seres ozuz man matan Torah, kidei she tichle shana v'kilosel. Now, as we're going to read all the tochachos, and we're going to do tshuva to be metakein the kilku that brought about the churban of Bayis Rishon, she ozu es torasi, and not seres, which is yom matan Torah seinu, this is the time for the tikun to make a renewed commitment to the study of Torah. But before Rosh Hashanah, Ezra was metakin, they should read the close of Mishneh Torah to be metakin the pagam of Sinas Chino. Why? Because with regard to Rosh Hashanah, Yasu Kula Maguda Achas Lasos Ritzono. So there's something inherent in Rosh Hashanah in which all the people unify together, and that's going to be a tikkun for that which brought about the Churban of Bayis Sheni, which was Sinas Chino. L'chein lo tikkun kodem haPesach. But none of this is relevant to Pesach, and therefore neither of these two clothes should be ready for Pesach. So that's the pizza.
This section here of the Gemara is assuming that the Kriyas Torah is like the Bavli tradition, not the Eretz Yisrael tradition in which the Torah was.
Yeah, we'll get to that as a whole.
I figured someone would notice that.
Because if you're reading it three times, that's going to be footnote Mem Gimel, which we'll read in just a minute. He says the following: B'chol ha'makomos shekorin kol ha'shana. I'm sorry, kol shana on an annual basis is kol ha'Torah kula. Then it makes sense that we can organize on an annual basis that we read these clothes before Shavuos and these before Hashanah. But b'nei Marav, shall you misayim misat Torah achas l'shol shanim, ain't a bechlal takonazu. Okay. If we have time, I want to discuss with you why Chag HaTzeres is called Chag HaTzeres. In the Torah, you'll never find the term Atzeres with regard to Shavuos. It's called Chag HaShavuos, but the Rabbanan Dafka wanted to call it Atzeres. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im Yomru L'chaz Kenim Star, V'yaladim B'nei Star. So the Gemara brings another statement in this tradition of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the name Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. In this case, an agadic statement, before we had a halachic statement about the takon of Ezra and Kriyas HaTorah. And it's a paradoxical statement. The Zakenim, the elders, are telling you to destroy something. The Yeladim, the children, are saying to build something. But you should listen to the Eitzah, to the counsel of the Zakenim, even though it means Sitar, the Altivna, and don't listen to the children, the young ones, who say build. Mipnei,
very cryptic.
Yeah. So we're going to have a whole explanation. Mipnei shestiras zakenim binyan. Binyan ne'arim stira. So when the zakenim tell you that you have to lower yourself, you know, you have to, in a sense, take a withdrawal and surrender, which is called in the Lashon Hashas here stira, then listen to them, because that's binyan. Sometimes you have to go down in order to go up. It's a, you read the Litzarch Aliyah. And where do we see this? Simon Ledovar, where do we see that when the Skenim tell you to slow down, Nevertheless, it's for the sake of binyan, and you have to listen to them. And the answer is Rechavam ben Shlomo. So there's a whole footnote here about Rechavam ben Shlomo. He was the king after his father, Shlomo. And at that time, there was a very evil person by the name of Yeravam ben Nevat who came together with a whole group of youngsters, and they demanded Levake sheyakel es ha'ol ha'kaved shenasan aleim Shlomo. Apparently Shlomo had imposed upon them heavy taxes perhaps and work, you know, they had to work in the kingdom. They wanted to lower this. V'yatsu hazkenim, and the zkenim came forward and they said, Achen yokel mimasa ha'am, let's lower and reduce the weight on the shoulders of the people. Okay. Hayaladim, the youngsters came along, Yatsulo, and they said, Adarava, you know what you should do, Rechavam? Yachbidis ol ha'am, v'yaser osam, v'yishlot aleim. You know, so you should be like a totalitarian leader, and you should impose yourself on them with very harsh decrees and taxes and so forth. So these are the two etzos, the counsels that were given to Rechavam. Vishoma Rechavam Latsasam, he accepted the eights of the counsel of the youngsters, and as a result, because he imposed tremendous weight upon the people, Mardu Bo Bnei Yisrael, they rose against Rechavam in a rebellion, and who did they accept and throne and appoint as the king to replace Rechavam? It was Yeravam ben Nevat. As a result, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So this is a very profound example of where you should listen to the Zakenim and not to the Eladim, as a result of the fact that Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, accepted the counsel of the Eladim, of the youngsters, he lost his Malchus, and not only that, his replacement, who was Yeravam ben Nevat, would bring about the Churban HaBayis. So I'll just read the pasuk in Malachim. Vayazov es atzas haskenim asher yatsuhu. Rechavam refused to accept the counsel of this kenim. But vayidaber alem katzas hayiladim. Instead he listened to the iladim, the children. Vavur ze nechra beis ha-migdosh. Hare atzas haskenim yad-binyin. Had he listened to the elders, there would have been a binyin. There would have been a beis ha-migdosh. But Me'idach, on the other hand, because he listened to Tzas Yeladim, it brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now at this point, we begin a very interesting sugya, and that is, do we pick up where we left off, or do we repeat? What do I mean? When we read the Torah on Shabbos, let's say in the morning, so we completed the parasha, now we start the next parasha, Mincha time. So we start where we left off. What are we going to do on Monday? What are we going to do on Thursday? And what are we going to do on the following Shabbos? One opinion is, let's move on. We finished the parasha on Shabbos in the morning. Now let's read the next section. And then on Monday, read the following section. On Tuesday, on Thursday, the following section. And finally on Shabbos, let's continue where we left off on Thursday. We're not going to repeat Pesukim. The other sheet is going to say, no, we always want to start the parasha on Shabbos from the beginning. Tana Rabbanan, Mokom Shemafsikim B'Shabbos B'Shachris Shom Korim B'Mincha. So we pick up where we left off. We completed the parasha on Shabbos. Now, Mincha time, we're going to continue with the next parasha. But Mincha, wherever we completed our Kriya on Mincha, Shom Korim B'Sheni, there from that point on, we're going to continue on Monday. Basheni, where we continued and completed on Monday. Shom, from there on we go forward. Bikorin b'chamishi. And from whatever we finished on Thursday, Misham, from that point on, Korin l'Shabbos Abba. Divrei Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Meir refuses to accept that we're going to repeat the Kriya a second time around. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Mokim shemafsikim b'Shabbos b'Shachris. Shom, at that point, Korim b'mincha, we start the next parasha. And then, b'sheni b'chamishi, we again repeat that same kriya, and l'shabbos haba, shachris, in the next Shabbos, we're going to again repeat what we read already mincha on Shabbos, on the previous Shabbos, and Sun, and Monday and Thursday. In other words, even though they read the beginning of the parasha mincha on Shabbos, and certainly they read the beginning of the parasha on Sheni and Chamishi, nevertheless, on the following Shabbos, we're going to repeat what we read. On Rav Zeira Halacha. Now, usually, if there are two names in a controversy, then when you say halacha, you mention one of those two names as the final decision. But instead, Rabbi Zeri says halacha makom shemafsikim b'shabbos b'shachris sham korah b'mincha b'sheni b'mishnah uvechamishi b'shabbos haba. In other words, we repeat the same kriya over and over again. So the Gemara right away objects, v'lema halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Why not just say that in this machlokes we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? And here we're on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara answers, Mishum di afchale luhu. There were two versions as to what positions Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda maintained respectively. And if it would be unclear, if Rabbi Zeira would have just simply said, Alok Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know which Rabbi Yehuda, which Girsa Rabbi Yehuda. Is the Girsa Rabbi Yehuda as we have it, or is the Girsa Rabbi Yehuda as Rabbi Meir has it? Therefore, Rabbi Zeira, to avoid any confusion, he went out of his way to repeat the exact halacha and formulated thusly, leaving out the names because it was a question who hold what. Torah Abana. Right now we're talking about the mitzvah of Glila. I just apologize, I have to get myself something to drink.
I apologize, he needs it.
Yeah, we all do.
I'm going to have to start using the air conditioning some of these days.
Okay, sorry. Okay, now you get an aliyah to the Torah. And the question is, when you recite Birchas HaTorah, that we're talking about the bracha before the kriya, should the Sefer Torah be open or should it be closed? And here we have again a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Even to this day, there are different minhagim. He says, Poseach, this is Rabbi Meir's sheet, Poseach v'roeh, he should open the Sefer Torah and see where they're holding, where they're about to read from, but then he should close the Sefer Torah, umavarech, and then make the bracha when the Sefer Torah is closed, when the two halves of the Sefer Torah are connected. The Gemara is going to explain why. And then v'chozim v'pasecha korei, the Rav Meir, then he opens the Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah, baby, who do Omer? No. Poseach, he should open the Sefer Torah. Roy, he should see where they're up to. Umevarech, and while it's open, he should make the bracha. He should not close the Sefer Torah v'korei. My time with Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir insist that the Sefer Torah should be closed when he recites the bracha? Kida Ula. And the Gemara quotes a statement of Ula to explain, to shed a light on Rabbi Meir, why the Sefer Torah should be closed at the moment of the bracha. The Omer Ula, Mipnei Ma Omru, Hakore Batora Lo Yisayea Limiturgumon. You remember that we spoke about the Takon of Ezra, that one person should be reading the Sefer Torah, and then they should appoint a Miturgumon whose job it was to translate the Torah into Aramaic and add an element of Havana, of understanding, to the Kriyas HaTorah. But now the Korei wants to hop in a little bit. He wants to also join in and participate in the Tirgum. Maybe because he thinks he knows better exactly how to be Metargim the Torah. He thinks that the Metargim made a mistake. I don't know. But in any event, he should not do so. And why does Ula want him to refrain from doing so? Kadesha lo yomru, they shouldn't be a mistake. And people might get the impression that the Targum, Kosuv Batorah, that the Targum itself is written in the Sefer Torah. And that could be a takola, that could be a downfall. Why? Because they're going to begin to write Targum in a Sefer Torah. And we don't write Targum in a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is purely written in Ashuras. No additional writings are allowed in the Sefer Torah. So what does Ula have to do with Rabbi Meir about reciting the bracha when you close the Sefer Torah? Hanami, the same logic applies in Rabbi Meir. Kedesha lo yomru, habrachos ksuvim batorah. In other words, when you read from an open Sefer Torah, you have to realize you can only read from that which is in the Sefer Torah. Don't add any Targum, don't add even the Brachas of the Torah, because people can get mistaken impression that you could write things in a Sefer Torah, whether it's Targum, whether it's Birchas HaTorah. So we want to demonstrate that the Birchas HaTorah are not written in the Torah. And in order to do so, you close the Sefer Torah, and that indicates that you're reciting the Bracha Baal Peh. For Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda does not seem to be bothered by this fear that maybe people come to the mistaken conclusion that Birchas HaTorah are written in the Torah. Only in the case of Targum, there we accept the principle of Ula. We have to be nervous about that. Ikol mit A. Then there is a serious chashash, a suspicion that people might come to the conclusion that the Targum is written in the Torah itself. However, with regard to Brachos, everybody knows that Brachos lekol mite, there's no room to believe that the Brachos are written in the Sefer Torah itself. Ein chashash shema yitu haroim v'yavo lichtov es ha-brachos b'sefer Torah. They'll think that from now on we should start writing the brachos in the Sefer Torah. And there is no such chashash. And he writes here in the name of the Rimi Luniel, ha-kol yodim she'ein kosun brachos b'sefer Torah mishum she'ein lem makom kavua. Notice the Targum belongs to this particular verse. So maybe we might want to add the Targum. But in the case of the Brachos, where are you going to write the Brachos? Harei kol pa'a b'vorchim b'kom acher. It's not related to any particular verse in the Torah. And therefore, everybody understands that the Birchas HaTorah are not written in the Sefer Torah itself. So Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about this. Now, again, I just want to point out one thing. It would seem logically, and this I'm giving an introduction to the next line in Rabbi Zeira, that you don't lose anything by closing the Sefer Torah. Meaning, okay, Rabbi Meir insists that you have to close the Sefer Torah, because otherwise maybe they'll mistakenly get the impression that the Birchas HaTorah written on somewhere on the top of the Sefer Torah, or wherever they wrote it. Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about that chashash, but you get the impression here, and I'm going to try to prove this to you from the next statement in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda insisted bidafka that the Sefer Torah should be open. Do you follow what I mean? The Gemara doesn't address that explicitly, because the Gemara is only telling you why Rabbi Yehuda deflects the chashash of Rabbi Meir. He's not worried about this mistake. So the poskim say that there's an additional benefit that Rabbi Yehuda wanted to gain by dafka having the Sefer Torah open. And that is that sometimes there's another mistake that could happen. The Baal Kore and the Ola are very often two different people. It doesn't have to be like that, but that's very common, and certainly amongst Ashkenazi. So the problem now is, what happens if the Baal Kore made a mistake, or even possibly the Ola, and he looked at the wrong section in the Torah? So now it works like this. If, let's say, the Baal Kore points with his finger, with his yad, right? He points to a certain place in the Sefer Torah, and he made a mistake. And the Mevarech made his bracha on that spot itself. And then they closed the Sefer Torah. Then they opened it, and guess what? That pasuk is not there. So according to Poskim, I'm not saying, you know, we're not poskening here, we'd have to spend more time on that, but he'd have to make the bracha again, because his bracha was chal on that particular pasuk, or that part of the Sefer Torah, not on another section. But if on the other hand he opens the Sefer Torah, and then he makes his bracha, what he's basically declaring is, I don't know exactly where we're going to read from, my bracha is a more general bracha, and very often the mistake is going to be from one gillion to the next gillion, either to the right or to the left. On Rav Zeira, Rav Masna Halacha, he says we're going to insist Poseach, he opens the Sefer Torah, Roeh, Umevarech, and he makes his bracha while the Sefer Torah is open, Vekorei, and then he reads the Sefer Torah. Again, the same Gemara that we had before, Velema. Why doesn't Rav Zeira just tell me Halacha Kerav Yehuda? And the answer is Mishum de Ifchulu. There are those who have a different girsa as to switching around the names. And Rabbi Meir was the one who says that you should open the Sefer Torah and write, recite the brachas while it's open. And Rabbi Yehuda said the opposite. So, in order to avoid any confusion, Rabbi Zeir formulates the halach itself. Now, at this point, having discussed Birchas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah, and the tradition was Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rav Asna, the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rav Nasna, not on the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah, but on the halachas of Kedusha Sefer Torah. You may recall that we had a long, long discussion about the sanctity of the Sefer Torah, and the fact that if, let's say, the Sefer Torah Shabbola, you don't just throw it out, you have to put it into Geniza, it has Kedusha to it. And now Rav Zeira of Rav Masna wants to address different parts of the Sefer Torah, meaning not the klaf itself where the ksav is written, but other, shall we say, auxiliary parts or extensions of the Sefer Torah. Do they have to be put into Geniza, meaning do they have the sanctity of what we call Tashmishe Mitzvah?
I was curious because the halacha that Rav Zeira cited in the Rav Masna is not what we do today, and it sounds like there's good reason to do.
Again, everybody has their own minig. My minig is through cite the brachas when the sefer is open.
Okay, so
the Sfaradim, I think, put that veil. What do they call it?
We put the veil.
The veil.
A lot of people will close it before.
But you know what? It could be that the veil of the Sfaradim is transparent. I'm not sure. I recently got an Aliyah, so I'm not sure. I was a Sfaradi. I don't know.
But you don't close it.
It could be that since it's only a veil, you gain this advantage of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, that the brach is chal
a lot of Ashkenaz do close it.
Okay, so they're following Rabbi Meir, which is okay, but the halach is not like Rabbi Meir. My father, Zichron Levrach, was very machfid, you know, that you should leave it open. I don't know, the Rav's minig, I don't know. I assume his minig also was probably to leave it open.
Yeah,
you remember from Boston? Okay. So now let's talk about what I call auxiliary parts that are attached to the actual ksav. So the first case is Luchos. We don't know what this is talking about. Rashi himself writes, Lo Yadati Mahen. So we're in good company here. Okay, but we'll see. Rashi's going to take a stab at it anyway. But the second case is a little bit clearer. So let's start with the easy case, and that's called Habimos. So Bimos are a pedestal, you know, a sort of a, what would you call it in English when you step on something that raises you to a high level? Do you have a word for it there? Maybe in the arts school, with Bima?
Platform.
Okay, the platform.
This just says platform. Yeah.
Platform, good. So the correct English would be platform. Now, you may remember that the Bima, from which they put the Sefer Torah on top of the Bima, that has the status of Tashmishe Kedusha. You can't mess around with that, even if you decide that we're no longer to use it for such. But here we're talking about not where we put the Sefer Torah, but where we stand in order to facilitate the Kriya of Sefer Torah. So even though it adds something to make it more possible to read the Sefer Torah, nevertheless it doesn't have the status of Kedusha. And then we get to the case of Luchos. Now what is Luchos? So Rashi, very vague over here, Rashi says that Yesh Mefarshim Hein Hasuyin Lisfarim Shalanu She'enam Hasuyin Begilion. So I'm going to work backwards here. I'm going to start with what Rashi, in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, rejects. Enam Hasuyin Begilion. This is not the auxiliary on the klaf itself. There's a gilion of the klaf, right? So if you look at any section of the Sefer Torah, you're going to see a gilion on the top and on the bottom. There are no letters on there. And the Mefarshim say that the Yesh Mefarshim, that what's the deeper meaning of this Yesh Mefarshim? Don't come to the mistaken conclusion that you could cut off the gilion and use it for a klaf or a mezuzah or something else. You can't. The gilion has Kedusha Sefer Torah, which is the highest level of Kedusha. So that pshat in Luchos is being rejected explicitly. So what would be the addendum to the Sefer Torah that's not on the klaf itself? So that's called krichas hasfarim. Anything that you use to cover the Sefer Torah. You remember we discussed and we saw this in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, the concept of a tikshel Sefer Torah. But the truth is that a tikshel Sefer Torah is used to protect the Sefer Torah and therefore does have a status of Tashmishi Kedusha. And therefore, if Rashi in his Yesh Mefarshim Asuyim Lisfarim, meaning it's used to cover the Sfarim, and that's called a Kricha, like a binding around a book, the question is, why Ein Bahem Mishum Kedusha? What's the difference between a Tikshel Sefer Torah and Luchos of a Sefer Torah? So I looked here in the Masifta, and honestly, I don't have any clarity here. So we'll have, you know, what does he say? Does he have a footnote?
Yeah, it says that in discussion with Rashi, it says that they're saying that these are essentially the covers of books. So instead of when it wasn't a scroll, they actually had davening. They would have the boards, you know, like
boards on both sides.
Basically, like this, holding it together. Right. Those boards wouldn't actually count.
But in the case of a Sefer Torah itself, if you had a tick where you put the Sefer Torah, that does have the status of Kedusha.
Right, but this, I guess, would not be for a Sefer Torah. This would be for
other Sfarim. Now, from now on, we have another tradition, another lineage, and that's Rabbi Shfatya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan.
One question: when we talk about the bima, wouldn't if the bima is part of the synagogue, wouldn't it have the kedusha of the synagogue?
No.
Or the Beit Knesset, wouldn't it? I mean, are you able to take the piece out of the Beit Knesset if it's?
Yeah, I think so. If it's
a renovation, the only thing you can't move is the Aron.
Okay.
The Aron itself.
Right.
You know, okay. All other. We just did a renovation.
Everything else.
But the Aron remained.
Okay.
That's Golel Sefer Torah Tzor Shia Midenu Al Hatefer. Right? When you pick up the Sefer Torah, and at the moment that you're going to close the Sefer Torah, the Tefer, which connects, right? That's the stitching that connects one section of the Sefer Torah with the other, one Yiriya with another Yiriya, so that should be in the middle of the Sefer Torah. That reduces the pressure on the Tefiros if it's in the middle, and therefore we're not afraid that it'll rip apart, it'll get detached. Another statement of Rabbi Shfatya Omer Rabbi Yochanan, HaGolel Sefer Torah, when you roll a Sefer Torah from one section to the other, now in those days, very often, the glila would take place not on a table, but on a person's lap. So imagine he's got a Sefer Torah in his lap, and then he's being golel. So the way he should do the glila is the following: golelo mi bachutz, v'ein golelo mi bifnim. In other words, he should not take the part of the Sefer Torah that's closest to his body and roll it, because in the meantime, while he's rolling it, the part that's at the end of his knees, right, is going to fall, might fall. So therefore it's better that he start from the outside, that's mibachutz, move towards the inside. Therefore he's securing the Sefer Torah. However, kishu mahadko, in other words, when he completes his glila, and now he wants to tighten the Sefer Torah together, make sure the two parts of the Sefer Torah are strong, are tightly connected, mahadko mibifnim, he should do that hiduk from the part that's closer to his body, v'eino mahadko mibachutz. Why? He says, mishum de mahadik es achitzon ala pnimi. In other words, if he's going to let go of the part of the Sefer Torah that's closest to his belly, so to speak, and he's going to hold on to the outside of the Sefer Torah, then he's covering over the Sefer Torah with his elbows or with his forearm. And there's a mitzvah, laharos es Ksav, this is Rashi, mitzvah laharos es haksav la'om b'shas ahiduk. Do you remember that when they pick up the Sefer Torah, they show the ksav? I'm not sure if that's true for Sfaradim, but anyway, in Ashkenazim, they show the ksav. This is based on this Rashi.
Yeah, we hold it open.
Right. So here also, if he starts rolling it from the outside in, then they won't be able to see the ksav. And therefore, we should do it from the, you know, tighten it from the inside, going out. Okay. Another statement, Omrav Shvatya, Omrav Yochanan Asora, Shekaru B'Torah, right, we said before in the Mishnah, back on Chof Gimel, that you need a requirement of minimum 10 people to read the Sefer Torah B'Tzibur. HaGadol Shebehem, the biggest scholar in that audience, Golel Es Sefer Torah. The word Golel here means Hagba. He should be the one to lift up the Sefer Torah. And why do we want to give the cover to the Gadol? And the answer is, HaGolo Notel Schar Kulam. He gets the reward from out of them. Again, we'll have to see what that means in just a second. Hang on. Kida Omrav Yeshub and Levi, Asar Shekar B'Torah, Golel Sefer Torah, Kibel Schar Kulam. As if to say, he steals the reward of all the others who read the Torah. So the Gemara says, that's impossible. Schar kulam salkedaitach? Why would he undermine the schar that's coming to them? They also read from the Sefer Torah. Ela ema kibul schar kineged kulam. That the mitzvah of Galila is such a great mitzvah that the schar for that mitzvah is equivalent, you know, it weighs as heavily as the schar of all the other kriyos. And the question is, why is it so significant to be magbia the Sefer Torah? And the answer probably is that you want to show the people, this is the Torah, and this is what we're studying, this is what we're reading, that's a great mitzvah. The only problem I want to add here is that you have to be very strong for Hagba. You know, if the guy could be a great Talmud Chacham, but he's 98 years old and he's pretty weak, I wouldn't take a chance in that case. The Omer of Shvatya, Omer of Yochanan, Minayin Shevishtamshin Bebaskol. And this is a very interesting Gemara. I was hoping we'd make a siyum. Can you make a decision based on a voice, a heavenly voice that you claim that you heard? Now, some of the farshim say this voice is coming from within. You know, there's something existential from within a person's very essence that's giving him the answer. But the simple pshat in the Gemara is that he hears a baskal. You know, you and I don't hear it, but he hears it, and he's had a very important juncture in his life. Now, there is such a thing as nichush. Nichush means we don't rely on omens and signs. Lo tenachashu. But here, Rabbi Yochanan says it's okay. And how do we know this? He says he derives from a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi. V'oz necha tishmana dovar me'acharecha lemar. And I'm going to read the next part of the pasuk. That's the crucial part of the pasuk. It says, Zeh aderech lechubo. This is the method, this is the way you should go. So this pasuk is teaching me that you can accept the baskol and decide which way to go. It's not a violation of otanach. So it means it's something that happened to you. You played a passive role. You didn't set up an omen. You didn't go to some sorcerer and ask for an omen. The Gemara says, but you have to know that it's a baskol. How do you know it's a baskol? Hani mili deshama kol gavra b'masa. Kol Issa B'Davra. Let's start with the second part. Kol Issa B'Davra. You heard a woman's voice out in the wilderness. Now, women don't frequent the wilderness. So you know it's a strange kind of phenomenon. This can't be natural. And the reason why we want to make sure it's strange is because otherwise maybe it's not really a baskal. Maybe somebody knew, you know, about your question and your indecision, and they sent you a message. You know, they yelled out something. The problem here is going to be how to interpret kol gavra b'masa. And kol gavra b'masa means within the city he heard a male voice. I mean, what indicates that that's a baskal? Maybe somebody is tricking him. How does he know it's a genuine heavenly voice? So Gemara says, "Hu diomar hein hein, v'hu diomar lav lav." The end of the pasuk says the following. We're going back to the pasuk in Yeshayahu. The last few words of the pasuk is, "Es haderech yelchu bo ki ta'aminu v'chi tisma'uli." Either to the right or to the left. To the right means yes, go ahead and do what you thought you might want to do. And to the left means no, don't do what you want. But, you know, if I were talking to you, I'd say go ahead, or I'd say don't go ahead. But the fact that he repeats himself and he says, hein, hein, and twice he tells him to go, that indicates that this is a strange voice and it's a genuine baskal. Omrab Shfatya, Omrab Yocher, call a kore belone ima. When a person reads the Torah, he should read it with the trup, as we call it, the Tame Amikra. Or Shona, when he learns Mishnayis, he should read it in a sing-song, because that's going to help him remember it. And he went it without the Zimra. It's all of HaKosuv Omer. The Pasuk says in Yechezkel, V'gam anina sati lahem chukim lo tovim. And the main part is the end of the Pasuk. Mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. Wow, that's a real curse. He won't live. Maskif le'abai mishum delo yada le'besume kola, you know, just because he didn't read the Mishnayos with a niggun, and therefore he's going to get such a harsh punishment of mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. Karisle, you call him on this pasuk. Ela, the Gemara says, Kidrab Masharshia, the Omer Shnei Tamini Chachom Ayoshim Bir Achas, V'einochim Ze Boze, Ze et Ze Bahalocha. You have two Tamini Chachomim, and they keep fighting with each other. They are the Chachom of that city, and he says yes, he says no, and vice versa. Is Aleim Akosiv Omer V'gamanina Sati Lehem, Chukim Lo Tovim, U'mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. Omer Rav Parnoch, Omer Rav Yochanan. Again, now it's a tradition dating to, you know, how should I say, attributed back to Rav Yochanan, a different state, a different Amora, but it's in the name of Rav Yochanan. Kol ha'ocheiz b'sefer Torah arum. If he holds on to the parchment of the Sefer Torah directly, without any separation, nikbar arum, he'll be punished and he'll be buried naked. So the Gemara says, arum salke daitach. Is it possible that they wouldn't put tachrichim on a dead body and they would bury him dead? And that's a very severe punishment, just because he grabbed onto the parchment and Sefer Torah. Ela emo, you have to, you know, calm it down a little bit. Nikbar orum below mitzvos, he'll be buried naked of mitzvos. So the Gemara says again, below mitzvos alkedaitov. Okay, he violated. He should have had a me'il, you know, something to separate him from the Sefer Torah. But therefore, he doesn't have any mitzvahs. El Omer Abai, nikbar orum below osa mitzvah. Now, this is a big covet when you hold a Sefer Torah, and that's a great mitzvah. But you're not gonna get that mitzvah, you know, up in Shemaim. You can't bring that up with you after you die, because you didn't do it the right way. You held on to the parchment directly, and that's not covet. Omer Avyanai Bereid, Avyanai Saba. Right, so there were two Rav Yanais. There was Rav Yanai the younger, Rav Yanai the elder. Mishmei the Rav Yanai Rav, and then there was a third Rav Yanai. That he was the Alta Zeid. You know, he was the great scholar. Mutov sheti golel hamitpachas v'al yigolel sefer Torah. That's what we want to do. Is we want to wrap the sefer Torah with a mitpachas, and we hold on to the sefer Torah. And the Golel is going to wrap the Sefer Torah with a mitbachas. V'al yigolel Sefer Torah, but you shouldn't wrap the Sefer Torah around the mitbachas. Let me read to you the Hebrew. He says, "Dahainu shamitbachas omedes bimkoma." He shouldn't do the following: leave the mitbachas where it is. V'u golel is Sefer Torah b'tocha mitbachas. And what he does is he. The mitpachas is in such a way that now, if he closes the sefer Torah, he'll be covered by the mitpachas. Kigon shusam a sefer Torah becheiko ala mitpachas golel as the sefer Torah, and automatically the mitpachas is wrapped around the sefer Torah. That's not covered at Torah. And finally, to end the Masechta, which I'm very excited about, vaydaber Moshe's moadei Hashem al bnei Yisrael, we're going to derive from this pasuk the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah on the Moadim. Mitzvasam shiyu korin osan kol echad v'echad bismana. We should find the parasha in the Torah to read that relates and is appropriate for that particular Moed. And the Marsha explains that this is a mitzvah of kriyas haTorah minyano shel yom, and it's derived explicitly from this pasuk, because the pasuk says asher tikru osam b'moadam, that you should read from the Sefer Torah in the Moed. And the Marsha says that the rest of the Gemara, the last piece, is right. So that's already a takana derabbanan. That's already a rabbinic injunction. Tana Rabbanan, it was a twofold rabbinic injunction. One of them is explicit here, and one we learned in Masechta Pesachim. The one that's explicit here is that Moshe tike lem Yisrael shusholim v'darshim v'nyano shel yom, that on every Moed, Moshe Rabbeinu says, on the Yontif itself, the Chacham Ha'ir should darshin, and he should ask the audience for questions, and he should give answers to guide them. For example, Hilchas Pesach bePesach, Hilchas Atzeres Batzerach, Hilchas Chag bChag. So on the holiday, he should set up a bama. He should present something about the halachas, and then after summarizing the halachas, the people should ask that question. So that's one takkonah d'rabban. Then there's another takkonah d'rabban, which is codified in the Gemara Psachim, and that is Shloshim Yom Darshim Binyan Shel Pesach Kodem HaPesach, that 30 days before Pesach we already start teaching the laws like Hagolas Kelim and Bir Chametz and the rest. And all these are takkonahs d'rabbanon of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Marashat claims that the reading of the Torah on a Moed, which means Minyano Shalom, that's in the Pasuk itself, Aydaber Moshe Moadi Hashem, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam, and that's a mitzvah, which is Leheder, which is explicit in the Pasuk, Hadron Alecha B'nei Ha'ir, V'Solik Le Masechta Megillah, Hadron Alecha B'nei Ha'ir, V'Slika Le Masechta Megillah. Thank you so much, Rabosai, for the opportunity to learn.
Tomorrow we're starting with...